Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning. I'm Kevin. Welcome back. If you came back, last Sunday was my first Sunday. If you're new here, it's my second Sunday, so I'm fairly new as well. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the gospel writers, and John writes different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He writes the words that we just sang. He says in the later portion of his writings, because John was with Jesus through all that he did, he said, I write all of these things for one central purpose, so that you, Kevin Griffin, would believe. Everything I'm writing to you, everything I'm telling you, is so that you would believe. And you just sung it. Hopefully, you meant those words of what you just sung. Last week was my first week, and we started a new series, and the series is called 4-1. And we started in Luke chapter 14, landed in Luke chapter 15, and we looked at the stories primarily of the sheep, which began a parable section in Luke 15, and a coin. And there are three words that are repeated in those sections over and over and over again. If you're still with me, say amen. Until one rejoice. Get excited that one that was lost is found. Whether it's a sheep, whether it's a coin, or eventually a person. Now, there's lots of things that we lose, and I want to talk to you about those for just a second here. But before I get to that, I told a story at the beginning about this incredibly, like, just, you can't even really put a price tag on it, even though they have, the Hope Diamond, was sent from a gentleman, Harry Winston, to the Smithsonian Institute in the late 50s. The value of that gem, that jewel, is now estimated at $350 million. But here's the package that he sent it in. I should have showed this last week. He sent it in a brown paper package. 45.5 carat diamond sent in just regular mail. And I said to you all that you've been given the same, actually greater, package. You've been given a message that is more valuable, it's invaluable, and you're the carrier. I don't know what your body looks like. I don't know how you would compare that to a brown paper $2.19 postage package. Some days I don't even feel like that, because I'm getting older. But I have something inside of me that Scripture says is worth more. How you doing with delivering the package? The valuable thing, the good news of the gospel. Let me show you some things that I read this article last week after I was preparing, and I figured, you know what, I'm just going to show this to you. Here's the top five things that we lose on a random basis. Now, some of you are laughing already because you lost them this morning. You're lucky you got here, right? I literally, almost every time I go out of the house now, I'm thinking, keys, phone, wallet, keys, phone, wallet, keys, phone, wallet. Like, I just repeat these three things, and usually I have all three, but there's many times it's like two out of three, I can't leave. So here's the top five things we lose. We lose our keys, our phone, our remote, our wallet, and our glasses. If you're north of 40, you didn't need glasses, probably many of you. Now when you're north of 40, you order them in like packs of 5 or 10. So Ruth just gets them from Amazon every couple months. We have like 10 in the house and can never find any of them. They're in the car. They're somewhere under a seat. They're like, it's ridiculous we cannot find these things. Probably because I don't have the glasses on. How much time do we spend looking for these items? 5 minutes and 20 seconds. This is about the average amount of time. Now, I don't know how scientific this article was, but this is just the article that I read this week as I was preparing. So I'm sharing you one source Things we spend more time on: keys, umbrella, passport, wallet, ID, which I don't know why is not in your wallet. The number one most lost item, this was funny to me. In the U.S., it's a remote. In the U.K., it's keys. What does that say about us? Like, that's our number one most lost item. Where's the remote? I always thought my TV, as expensive as it is, I was like, why doesn't it have a button, which I push on the actual TV, which for some of you is like 80 inches. If you would push a button on there, why wouldn't the remote just beep? Wouldn't that be a great thing? If I fail as a preacher, I should become an inventor, I guess. The top day to lose your phone, Sunday. I would love to lose my phone some days. Isn't that crazy? I want to show you a picture here. This is a picture of a scene. I don't know if this is the Valley Mall back in the day, but it's the first one that I found. Jeremiah was, he's our son, he was about 5. And Ruth and I were shopping one night at Belk. And in a matter of seconds to what seemed like eternity, we realized that this one child of ours, which is very different than the other one, is not in our vicinity. And so I was in one section of Belk. I go over to Ruth, who's in another section. And he used to love to go, and he used to like to get in between the clothes. You know, the clothes racks, and they're full. And he would love to dive in there. And it didn't matter what his mom said or what I said. He was going to do it anyway. So he's having fun. I thought he's with her. She thinks he's with me. And all of a sudden, I walk over there, and I'm like, where's Jeremiah? She said, well, I thought he was with you. You've had this scene play out for you if you're a parent or a grandparent. Unless you have a perfect child and you haven't raised Jeremiah. Instantly, I mean, we go from just like all of a sudden we're yelling throughout Belk and we can't find Jeremiah. It's now at 2 minutes, it's 3 minutes, we're pushing 5 minutes and we're in full panic mode. And it's not packed, it's a Saturday night. We cannot find this child. We go get the store clerk. Ruth has not called 911 yet, but she was on the verge. We're searching, searching, searching. He's lost. This is our son. And finally, inside of 10 minutes, Jeremiah's in the women's dressing room. Now, I'd like to make more comments about that, but I'll wait till he's in the next service. And there he was, just chilling. Do you think we would have left Belk that night without our son? Who, whether he believed it or not, we thought he's lost. Who in your life is lost? For some of you, it's a family member. For some of you, it's a friend. For some of you, it's... And last week, we started this series with the idea that out of Luke chapter 15, Luke has these words that are repeated. Until, I'm going to walk this journey, until, one, rejoice. And it's not a project. It's not just a person I write on a card so that I put it on my refrigerator and I pray for them every day. That's a great thing. I applaud you if you do that. I do that too. I have lists of people I pray for. But what I'm talking about is different than a list of people I pray for who don't know Jesus. I'm talking about a few people in your life who you're ready to rearrange your entire schedule, your life, your finances, everything you got on your calendar to figure out, how do I inject my life with theirs and vice versa so that eventually, until, one, rejoice. Rejoice. Today, we're going to look at a story out of Mark. But before I get to that, I want to just go over this. There was an important date that happened in November, 2 years ago, November 15th, 2022. If you've already lost me, check back in. Ready? This is staggering. November 15th, 2022, our world for the first time hosted 8 billion people on the planet. 8 billion. How many do you think are lost? Kevin, listen to me now. You thought you're in Pennsylvania. We're in the Bible Belt, Shenandoah Valley. There's more churches than are in your area where you're from. Philly's crazy. We get that. But you're in Harrisonburg now. It's all good. Most of us are saved. Weren't you at the fair the other night? Didn't you hear they hosted a gospel concert? We are the Bible-believing, carry your Bible or cell phone, go to church every Sunday. We're good. 85,000 people in Rockingham County, 45,000 claim to have an association as Christians. There's a claim for the rest of that group, unless the stats I read wrong, or for a lot of other things. That would indicate to me, are you listening? They're lost. 2.7 billion of the 8 would identify as Christian. I wonder if those same comparative statistics would hold true in Rockingham County, where we live. The people that we rub shoulders with, I didn't even talk about Page County, Shenandoah County, Augusta County, which are neighboring counties around us, which some of you work in, live in, move in, associate with people from there. Lost. Until one rejoice. Mark chapter 5, here we go. They went across, this is Jesus now, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Some versions say Gadarenes, it's all the same region. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. The New Living Translation says, a man possessed by an evil spirit. This is a jacked up dude. He shows up. He's the first person to greet Jesus. He came from the tombs. The Jews did not like deep water. The Jews did not associate with anything unclean, and they certainly did not appreciate. Remember, Jesus' disciples are with him. They're arriving in a boat. Here comes a man out of the tombs. He's crazy acting, and he shows up to meet Jesus. Verse 3, this man lived in the tombs. He didn't just once in a while go. He lived. He lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out, and he would cut himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. There's another rendering in scripture that in essence is saying this man, this wild, are you listening? Man came from the tombs. He's been acting crazy. He is possessed. He sees Jesus and he falls on his knees. And the rendering is the word proskuneo. Proskuneo is a word which describes two military generals who would meet in a battlefield. And the one would surrender to the other by presenting his sword to the victorious general. When is the last time you bowed your heart, your head, and physically your knees? In full surrender, proskuneo. God, a demon-possessed man did it. How about us? Are we willing to get in that kind of posture anymore? It's quiet. The only picture I could think of as I was thinking about someone like this is this. Like, now don't go home and tell your kids you can't watch Avengers because the preacher said they're evil, or the Hulk actually did some good things, but Hulk would just, I mean, he just turned into this wild man. You couldn't contain him. He was crazy. He was big. He was strong. I was thinking, like, who's the biggest, strongest human being you've ever met or laid eyes on? If you've seen an NFL player, you understand they are a different specimen than the regular human. That's what I'm picturing in this story. That Jesus shows up in a boat with his guys, and this is what greets him. Doesn't seem to faze Jesus. Well, that's Jesus, see? That's not us. Mark chapter 5. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. All throughout Mark and the other Gospels, people are having a difficulty trying to figure out who Jesus is. The demons know. And this demon comes right to Jesus and screams it. You are Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Wow. Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name, singular, is Legion, he replied, for we, plural, are many. He's trying to intimidate Jesus, see? My name is, Legion is a military term. Go back a few verses to the proskuneo. Legion is a military term, and there were somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 in the Roman army. So he's telling Jesus in this moment, I know you've showed up, and I've just declared who you are, but you should know there's a bunch in me. And I'm going to, in this statement, try to intimidate you with how many. It's we versus you. He must have forgot that Jesus always operated in the Trinity. Because it wasn't just Jesus, it was Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But he, in this very statement, is trying to declare, there's a bunch of us here, Jesus. So you better back up, bruh. I want you to see the map of this. Jesus and his disciples have come up from the Syria region, and they have crossed, well, it would be Galilee, they've crossed the Sea of Galilee, and you can see where it says Decapolis. Decapolis meaning there were 10 cities in this area. One of them was Philadelphia. 10 cities in this area. It's a Gentile region, see? This is a region that is known for evil activity. And Jesus has left, in just a minute I'm going to go over this, he's left one beautiful scene to cross a lake to go here. And people are obviously, mostly his disciples are confused, like, what are you doing? You're heading straight across the lake to this? For one. Do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when you are a part of bringing someone closer to Jesus? There is an excitement in you that no one can subdue. I don't know if that's happened to you recently. Maybe it has. I want to just use an analogy here through a video of a little boy and his excitement and the excitement of the people that are with him as he's fishing and catches a fish for the first time. Watch this. Yeah, you can clap. Now, before I get to the more serious point, I love that. That's how a man holds it. She tells him twice. The family's excited. The boy is excited. I love the dad behind him. I want you to do this, son. And I'm going to be here to help you. I want you to do this. I want you to experience this. And it's as if God the Father is saying to me and to you, I want you to do this. I want you to fish. I want you to go after people. Even your life is the bait. And I will help you do this. I will empower you. It's not going to be your skill or your silver tongue words. It's just going to be your surrendered life. And would you just surrender to me and get involved in the lives of people in such a way that I could just reel them in through your life? Wow! Wouldn't that be beautiful? For one, your first catch. See, we love to use plural language. I have friends, plural. I have neighbors, plural. We don't even know who our neighbors' names are. But imagine the moment you would show up to church with your one. And you would be even yourself more tuned in. You would say, I hope so-and-so is preaching and I hope they're on point. I hope the music's good today. I hope the greeters are friendly. I hope the parking lot's clean. I hope the Spirit of God descends on this place because today I'm bringing my one. I'm showing up with a greater expectation because my one is with me. And the excitement of the community of faith. Wouldn't it be awesome if we'd be like that little guy's sister, that we would just come around them and throw our arms around them and celebrate with them? That's a beautiful picture. Luke chapter 15 is where I left you last week. I have to show you one thing out of this. Luke chapter 15, verse 4, it says this. Jesus is starting this section of the parables, and listen to what he says. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? Who is Jesus talking to here? He's talking to the religious people, the religious leaders. Listen to me, friends. None of them would have owned sheep. What kind of parable is this? He's making it crystal clear right off the bat. You guys are the religious leaders. Do you know what it's like to shepherd? Do you know what it's like to go after a lost sheep? They would have looked down their noses at shepherds. And that's where he starts. And so I come to you today, not to look down my nose at you. I'm with you. I'm being challenged by this as much as anybody. My one is in Pennsylvania. I got to get a new one. I want someone that's local to me where I'm going to have to rearrange my schedule. Where sometime I'm going to have to tell Angela Sipe, hey, I can't come in today. Why? My one, and she'll just know. Who's your one? Last week, the main question was, who is your one? This week's question is a little bit different. This week's question is, are you listening? What are you willing to do to get to your one? What do you mean? Mark chapter 3. Let's back up so I can give you the full picture. We started in Mark 5, but this is what happened before Jesus gets to the Hulk-looking guy. Mark chapter 3, verse 9. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep him from the people crowding around him. Mark chapter 3, verse 20, a few verses later. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. There's so many people are showing up. This is what a crowd looks like. Y'all are probably familiar with this here. JMU football winning in the playoffs. It's a celebration. It's party time. There are some who don't like crowds, but the truth is, there must be a lot who do like them because I was at the fair on Friday night. There was a large crowd of people there. From every age, from every race, they all showed up, and it wasn't for the same reason. I think this all the time. How can so many people go up to Disney or show up to Disney for a mouse and we can't get our country aligned for Jesus? People must like crowds. one of the greatest crowds I've ever been in. No offense. I don't know who y'all root for baseball here. Last year, I went to a Phillies playoff game. It's 45 minutes before the game starts. The stadium is packed. There's no players on the field yet. And no one sat down from the 45-minute mark through the end of the game. And people were just, I mean, that's a baseball game, Kevin. The crowds. Jesus has gathered crowds, and they keep crowd. There's so many people showing up, they can't eat. Crowds gather people, disciples follow. Jesus says to his guys, I need you to get in this boat, and we're going to cross this lake. Last week, the question was, do you have a one? This week, it's, what are you willing to do to get to your one? Worship team can come. Hey, guys, listen to me. We're going to get in this boat, and we're going to leave all of these people. What? We're going to leave all of this. We're going to leave the Rockingham County Fair. We're going to leave the Phillies. We're going to leave the JMU celebration. Jesus, things are going well here. People are showing up because you're ministering at a high level. What are you talking about? Do you not care about the crowds? I do care about the crowds. Mark chapter 4, next chapter. That day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side towards Decapolis. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern. He was asleep. You know this story. Jesus woke up, or they woke him up, and they say, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this, and how does he have this kind of power? As I get ready to close, I want you to listen to me. In Mark chapter 3 and the beginning of 4, he leaves crowds, crowds, crowds. His own family couldn't get to him. He goes to the Decapolis for one. He comes back to the Decapolis in chapter 7, and there's more people that have gathered. And do you know what he told that guy? That guy wanted to get in the boat. The Hulk-looking guy, he wanted to get in the boat and go with Jesus because he left for a little while. And Jesus said, nope, I want you to go back, and I want you to go visit your town, and I want you to tell your people about what happened here. He comes back a third time to the Decapolis in Mark chapter 8. Are you ready? Excitement building. Here's the words. Listen. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days. Not a 30-minute sermon. 3 days these people are hanging on my words. They've nothing to eat. Jesus leaves this crowd, all the excitement, all the success. He leaves it all to go across a lake and enter a storm. For one, he leaves again. He comes back in Mark chapter 7, and there's a few gathered. But then he comes back in Mark chapter 8. If you have your Bible, you know what it says at the heading of Mark chapter 8? Jesus feeds 4,000, which we know is probably at minimum 10,000, because they didn't count the women and children. He shows up a third time. And do you know who I'll bet was sitting there? I'll bet he was there in Mark chapter 7, and I'll bet he was the cause for a lot of what happened in Mark chapter 8. I'll bet it was the Hulk-looking guy. I'll bet he was front and center. I'll bet he had gone to his town, and he had gone after more than one. I'll bet over 4,000 people, probably 10, showed up, and we've no record of how many people one demon-possessed man who encountered Jesus, and Jesus says, you can't leave with me. I want you to go tell your people. He comes back a second time, more people. He comes back a third time, and there's just a massive amount of people who have now gathered. Why? Because one went after one. Jesus pursued one. And that one went after a whole bunch of people. Imagine what happens if you don't do your job, if you're not on mission, and you come to church Sunday after Sunday, and you go to life group, and you show up to youth group, and you do all of these things, and you praise God, but you haven't prayed about, you haven't sought one. And your one could be the key to draw thousands in the kingdom. Oh, what a travesty might it be. How about you? Do you have a one? What are you willing to go through to get to your one who could possibly reach thousands? Whew. There's some weight in that. Mark chapter 5. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." You know what I need you to do, Hulk? Demon-possessed man, just go tell your story. Stand with me. This week it occurred to me that I get into theological discussions over different things. You probably get into some of them, and some of you already probably in my second week want to be like, "I'd like to talk to you about that. I'm not sure I agree with that." But you know what people don't argue with? You know what they never question? Your story. They don't argue your story. How can someone come up to me and say, "You didn't meet Jesus on this day, and he didn't do this in your life"? No one's ever done that to me. They would want to argue different things in theology, but no one wants to argue your story. When are you going to start telling your story? For one, who could eventually unlock the doors for so many other people. In just a second, I'm going to invite you to come and receive communion. This is a great time to get communion. In the Church of the Nazarene, we believe in two sacraments. Baptism is one of them. September 8th, we're going to celebrate that. Trust me, it will be a celebration. Communion is another one. As we close, let me read this to you. You don't need to be a member here today of the Church of the Nazarene to take communion. You just need to have said, "I'm going to turn from sin and turn to him." Maybe in this moment. When Jesus shared the bread and the wine with his disciples, the bread symbolized his body, the wine symbolized his blood, and the disciples understood this to mean that he was giving up his life, his very life, his body and his blood for their benefit. The earliest records of the church show that his followers regularly shared in the bread and the wine, reminding themselves that Jesus had died for them, he was risen, and he will come again. He was risen, he will come again. It's a celebration, a proclamation of Jesus' real spiritual presence within us, of the forgiveness that he offers us. It's a celebration of the unity of Christ's body. "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and he said, 'This is the cup of my new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, you remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You can do multiple things this morning in just a second. You can come and receive communion however you want, wherever you want. We also still have cards on the table. Because maybe you weren't here last week, or maybe you didn't have a name last week and you prayed about it, and you need to get a card, and on the back of that card, you need to write the name of your one. Pastor Jared testified to me this week that he received a card last week at East Rock, and the card simply said, "I'm found." Hallelujah! Yeah. One at East Rock, one was found last week. Don't hesitate. Don't think, "Well, I haven't had a class on communion." Turn from sin and turn to him. And you're prayerfully in these moments thinking, "Who's my one? And what am I willing to go through to get to my one?" Let's move.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.